Welcome to Life Point Church. We're really glad you're here. We are kicking off a brand new series that we're calling The Great Experiment, which I'm really excited to talk with you about this morning. But before we jump into that, every now and again, we like to let you guys know why we exist. We've been here public in Mount Vernon for just over a year. And so if you're curious, like, why do these people exist? We're going to share our vision statement. And if you're a note taker, which you should be, this will be the first thing in your listening guide if you want to take notes. And so our vision statement, the reason why we say we exist to become a people who draw life from God and point other people to him. And every time we say this, there's never a big aha moment, but you notice the life and the point, how they're underlined? Pretty, yeah, you're welcome. So that's kind of where we got our name from, is we exist to become this group of people who draw life from God and who point other people to this great, awesome God named Jesus Christ. And something that I think is true about you, because I know it's true about me, is every single one of us wants life. Like we don't want to just exist, but we want our life to be full of joy, full of meaning, full of purpose, full of love. Like we want this deep, rich, meaningful life. Every single one of us, I think, wants that. And I think the other thing that is true about every single one of us in the room is that we have this suspicion that the way that we've been trying to get there, the way that we've been trying to access this really awesome, cool, meaningful, beautiful life that we all very, very, very much want to experience, we have this sense that maybe there's a better way to do that. Because we look at our life, and we look at our experience of our lives, and we think, man, there's got to be more. Like, there's got to be a better experience of life. And there's got to be a better way to access this experience of life that I really, 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 really want. And what we're going to be talking about over the next 6 weeks is what we think is a critical component to all of us getting where we want to be, which is this awesome, rich, deep, meaningful, super cool life. And so what we're going to say as we look forward to this experiment series that we're going to be doing for the next 6 weeks is giving up. And so what we're going to say every single week, and this is the next thing in your listening guide, which again, you should take notes, is that giving up is essential to life. And what we're going to talk about with this idea of giving up is that there are two critical moves that every single one of us needs to make in this process of giving up if we really want to give up in the way that the Bible invites us to, in the way that allows us to access this type of life that Jesus Christ is inviting each of us to do. And so we call these the first move and the second move. We spent probably way too much time this week trying to pick like the perfect word. Like, should it be like movement or move or step or phase or strategy? Or we just didn't know. And so what we were trying to convey to you is that this is not like I do this once and then I'm done with it, but rather this is something that we need to do over and over and over and over. So the first move becomes the third move and the fifth move and the seventh move, and we just keep moving. And the second move is something that we need to do over and over and over and over. So what we're going to say is that the first move is giving up your quest to earn God's love. And the truth for you, just like it's true for me, is that all of us spend a great deal of our pre-Christian days on a quest to earn God's love. And the truth is, for me, and I think for you, is that a lot of us spend a lot of our post-Christian days on a quest to earn God's love. And whether you're a Christian or whether you're not Christian, if you're not a Christian and you're here, man, we're really glad you're here. We think that everyone does this. And this is how this typically works. Like we look at maybe a book like the Bible, or we look at church people and we say, okay, so those people, or there's this God up there and he kind of talks directly to me, or however you think of this, you look at this great big God and you think, okay, God's really important and I would love for God to love me. And so what I need to do is I need to figure out the system, because obviously God's like really smart. And so God has this really complex system for how I can earn his love. And so there's probably a list of things that I need to do. So I want to try to do those things as well as I possibly can. Then there's probably this other list of things that I don't do. And so I need to not do, I need to avoid those behaviors as much as I possibly can. And then there's maybe like some sacrifices or something, like maybe I need to sing, or maybe I need to go to church, or maybe I need to like tell other people about him, or maybe there are all these things that I need to do to earn God's love. And so we embark on this quest to earn God's love. And what happens in our minds, what happens in our hearts, is that we believe very, very firmly that God's love for us depends. It is completely tied to our performance. It is completely tied to our success on this quest that we all embark on. And the first move that every single one of us needs to make is we need to give up. We need to be in the process of actively giving up our quest to earn God's love. Because the really bad news that the Bible tells all of us is that that quest is futile. You cannot ever succeed in your quest to earn God's love. It is impossible. You and I, we can never perform well enough. We can never perform consistently enough to have God look down at us and say, oh, now you've done it. I love you. Okay. Like, that's not how it works. That's the bad news in the Bible. But the good news, the word gospel means good news. The good news of the gospel is that God looked at the world. He looked at you and I, and he loves us. And he says, man, these people are never going to be able to earn my love the way that they need to earn my love. And so he sends his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lives perfectly and invites us to imitate him. Jesus is arrested and then executed on a cross so that we can be forgiven. And then on the third day, he walks out of his tomb, conquering death and inviting us into the life that he now has that lasts forever. And so the bad news is you can't ever earn God's love. The really, really good news is God's giving it away. He tells each of us that we can trust his son, Jesus Christ. And when we do that, when we accept God's invitation to trust his son, Jesus Christ, he adopts us into his family as sons or as daughters. And he just gives us his love. And it's beautiful. And so for all of us, as we embark on this experiment, so to speak, this experiment about Lent over the next 6 weeks, it's going to be exactly 40 days from today until Good Friday. Our hope is that all of us, maybe some of us for the first time ever, make this move where we give up our quest to earn God's love and we just receive the forgiveness that we can each find in Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you that will happen over the next 40 days, and we're praying for that. And for others of us, those of us who are already Christians, man, what happens a lot of times in your heart, just like it happens in my heart, is we forget to keep making this move. Because I don't know about you, but what I find my heart defaulting to is maybe I'm doing pretty well, or maybe I'm not doing very well in these things that I think God wants me to do because I'm a pastor and because I'm a Christian and all this stuff. I begin to think, man, I'm doing pretty well. God must love me so much more than he used to love me, because I'm doing so well at like reading my Bible and praying and telling people about Jesus, and my sermons are so good and whatever, you know, like all these things that I might think. Or on the flip side, maybe I think, wow, man, this Sunday was awful and I haven't been praying as much as I should. Whatever that number is, I haven't hit it. And my love, or what I think God loves towards me, it's diminished. And that's because I've been forgetting to keep giving up my quest to earn God's love. And I think that you're probably like me, where sometimes your heart tends to default to your behavior and you root your sense of God's love towards you in your behavior. And Jesus Christ is inviting us to have the kind of life that we all want. And part of accessing that life is giving up. And part of that giving up is giving up your quest, giving up my quest to earn God's love and just to live in it, to receive it, because he offers it to us freely. So that's the first move. The second move, and this is the one that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about over the next 6 weeks, is giving up your default prioritization of the temporary over the eternal. I'm going to say that again. It's kind of a mouthful, and I'm really impressed that I can say default prioritization. So the second move is giving up your default prioritization of the temporary over the eternal. And this is tough, because every single one of us, our default, like we enter life defaulting towards temporary things, towards physical things, towards, when we look in the passage today, towards earthly sort of things, and we prioritize those things over heavenly things and eternal things. Just to give you a kind of a thought experiment for instance, let's imagine that as you were walking in this morning, you're like, I'm so excited to go to church in a theater, and you're coming in, and you see like kind of off to the left, like this semi-shady looking character in like a really nice suit, and he's like, psst. And you're like, and so you walk over to the shady dude in the suit, and he's got like a briefcase with him, and he says, okay, let me tell you like what's going on. So if you were to go to church today, like what's going to happen in there, it's just going to be like life-changing stuff. Like God is going to show up in a big way in your heart and do something incredible, something that maybe you've never experienced. And God is just going to wreck your life, and it's going to be beautiful, and your life is going to be changed forever. In this briefcase, I have $100 million, which I will give to you if you just leave. I don't know about you, but if that's me, I'm out. Like, I'm calling Josh Baker, like, hey, man, just sing, like, 5 extra songs. I got to miss church today. Like, I am so gone. I'm sorry. It just is what it is. And I think if that's you, you're probably thinking the same thing. Because, I mean, being in here in a life-changing sermon or a life-changing, like, set of songs, yeah, that's life-changing. But $100 million, like, that's legit life-changing, right? I mean, that's really what's going to change your life. And I think all of us, if we were given that opportunity, we'd probably take the $100 million. And some of you are like, well, what I would do is I would take the $100 million, get in my car, leave, and come back. And so I like totally get both and like Coke Zero and, you know, like da, 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 da. Like that's what you would do. And you're overthinking the experiment. Like it's just to illustrate a point. So you can't do that. And so I think that that helps us to be reminded of the fact that you and I, we all have this default tendency to prioritize earthly things over heavenly things. And so what we're going to be encouraging you guys to do over the next 40 days, so from today, this Sunday, to Good Friday, the day that we celebrate the brutal torture and execution of our Lord and Savior, which is kind of weird if you think about it. Like we as Christians, we celebrate. We get excited about the fact that 2,000 years ago, the one that we love the most got arrested, tortured, and executed. And we do that because we know that that was for us. It was God's expression of love towards us through the cross. And so what we're encouraging all of you to do is to give something up over the next 40 days or for maybe segments of the next 40 days. And why would you do that? Well, it's because you're acknowledging that your default prioritization is to put the earthly in front of the heavenly. And in the act of giving something up, hopefully you can begin to reorient your heart. Hopefully you can begin to reorient your priorities over the next 40 days. And we need to say the important thing is the goal isn't to get rid of stuff. The goal isn't to give things up. The goal is to get things in. And so to give you a, for instance, I'm going to share with you what I'm going to be giving up for the next 40 days. So for me, I'm going to be giving up television for the next 40 days. And so no TV for me for the next 40 days. I know, whoa, sounds kind of radical, right? And so for the next 40 days, no television for me. Now for me, television represents time. I give my time to television on probably a daily basis. And so for me, the goal isn't so much to get rid of television because television isn't really good or bad. It's just something that I give my time to. The goal is to take that time that I would have given to television over the next 40 days and to put something there instead. So what do you put there? I'm going to suggest to you, think relationships. Think two specific relationships when you think about what you're going to put in the place where you've taken something out. So for me, the first relationship is my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And so what am I going to do during the time that I would have given to TV? Well, I'm going to read some more scripture. I'm going to take some time and I'm going to read some scripture during that space. I'm going to pray more than I would have otherwise during that space. There's so many free resources online. I'm going to watch sermons on my TV, which is not breaking the rules. I'm going to watch sermons on my TV, like just kind of hang out. So those are the things that I'm going to try to do to cultivate my relationship with my Heavenly Father during my TV time. The other relationship, or the other kind of the second relationship that I want you to think about is just your relationship, the relationships you have with other people. And so Molly and I, we have a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and like a 5-week-old. And so life is crazy. And when it gets to the end of the day, man, we're just tired. And so oftentimes how we connect, how we kind of veg out is we just turn on the TV, we watch shows that we watch together, and it's really, really fun. And so we're going to try this new thing called talking to each other. It's going to be weird. So we'll talk to each other, we'll play games together, we'll maybe pray together, maybe we'll do some Bible studying stuff together, but we're going to try to connect with each other in different ways over the next 40 days. Do the same with my children. Maybe we'll have people over because we're bored because there's no TV to watch. I don't know what we'll do, but we're going to intentionally cultivate a relationship with our Heavenly Father and our relationship with one another over the next 40 days. And so I want to kind of illustrate this to you too. So just full disclosure, I have a couple of exceptions to my TV ban. And so I've got some pictures to show you. So this is the Octonauts. My 4-year-old and 3-year-old love the Octonauts. And so like tomorrow when Ethan is like, Daddy, will you watch Octonauts with me? I'm not going to say, sorry, son, it's Lent. Like that's not going to happen. So this is one exception to my TV fast. You can kind of make up the rules for whatever you choose to fast from, which we hope you do. The next one, again, one of my favorite shows. This is Sophia the First. She's finding out what being royal is all about, Sophia the First. And so this is Jake and the Neverland Pirates, which again, one of my favorite shows. And then the last kid show that I'm allowed to watch over the next, one of my children's favorite shows. And seriously, I'm allowed to watch March Madness as part of my TV fast. And so, and again, I bring that up because there are no rules. Like you can make up whatever rules you want. So for me, my TV fast means I can't watch any television unless it's like with my kids and it's one of those awesome like Octonauts, Jake and the Neverland Pirates thing, or March Madness, because March Madness is awesome, and I mean, who could give that up, right? So that's what I'll be doing for the next 40 days. And so our encouragement to you is to pick something to give up as well. And it doesn't have to be every single day of the 40 days. Maybe you could say, just on Fridays, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do like 4-day stretches and then take a break because I just don't know. And we want you to kind of view it as an experiment. I mean, just see what happens when you take something out that's normal for you, and you put something different in. And so what are some examples of things that you might try to give up? Television is obviously one. Social media is one that maybe you would consider giving up. Maybe it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or all of them, or some mixture of that. Or maybe it's like, I can only post Bible verses, or whatever you decide to do. But maybe social media would be something that you would give up. You can give up some form of eating, whether you like don't eat on Fridays or you don't eat for 40 days or whatever it is. Maybe you just skip breakfast on Thursdays, whatever it is. But the point is, I take something out so I can put something heavenly in. Video games is one that maybe hits this crowd a bit more than the 9 a.m. crowd. Not a lot of gamers in the 9 a.m. service. You can take out eating out. And with eating out, it's less of a time thing and more of a money thing. And so maybe you say, for the next 40 days, we are not going to eat out one time. And whatever money we would have spent on eating out, we're gonna do this with it, whatever that thing is. Maybe you give up caffeine. Maybe you give up alcohol. The idea is I give something up to prepare my heart for Easter, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And I give something up so I can get something in, something that is of more heavenly value. And so today we're going to jump into Matthew chapter 6. We're going to jump into the middle of this thing that's called the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, it's a really long sermon that Jesus gave in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And really what we're going to see is Jesus kind of say in his way what we just talked about with this first step, second step, first step, second step. And the last thing I need to remind you before we jump into this is, I mentioned this earlier, you'll find, I think, that if you do this experiment thing and you begin to give things up because you love Jesus or because you're interested in maybe learning more about Jesus and seeing if he is in fact lovable, it's critical that you keep taking the first move. Because if you get really good at taking the second move where you're giving things up because of this God relationship thing that you're going to cultivate or trying to cultivate, what you'll find in your heart is what I said a moment ago. You'll find yourself thinking, now I've done it. God loves me so much more because I'm not watching television than he did 23 days ago. And when you find your heart whispering those things to you, you got to remember to make the first move, because your quest to earn God's love is futile, but God just gives it to you for free. So we don't do this to earn God's love. We do this in the context of God loving us through his son Jesus Christ, and knowing that our default is to prioritize earthly things over heavenly things, and that Jesus says that's a bad idea. And so we're going to try to leverage the next 40 days to become more like Jesus. Okay, that's a really big deal. If you don't do that well, then it all blows up, right? So let's pray, and we'll jump into Matthew chapter 6. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. God, it's so great to gather here and to sing songs that are to you and to sing songs that are about you. God, to be reminded that, God, you love us. Like, you really actually love us, and you invite us into your family. God, that's awesome. So God, as we open your word this morning, God, we pray that you would meet here with us by your Holy Spirit. God, we pray against an attitude, accidental or intentional, that says that this is just a thing I do on a Sunday morning. God, I pray that you would invade our space, as Josh says it. God, that you would reveal yourself to every single person who is here. God, that we would encounter you and not just be doing a religious thing on a Sunday morning. So God, as we open your word, God, we need so much of your help. So we pray that you would give it to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. This is Jesus talking. He's kind of in the middle of this long sermon that he's giving. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so what we're going to say, kind of summarizing what Jesus says there, we're going to say that Jesus says, don't seek and store earthly treasures. Now, for some of you may be wondering, wait a minute, Jesus says don't lay up earthly treasures. Why are you switching the words? And I'll tell you why I'm going to switch up the words. We're going to get nerdy for just a few moments. I got some Greek in your listening guide, some Greek on the screens. And so what I learned this week, which I thought was really interesting, is the word for lay up or store up or whatever word is in your translation that you read and the word for treasures, it's actually the same word, just one's a noun and one is a verb. And that's in your listening guide. And so thesauros is the word that it gets translated as treasures. And then thesaurizo, which you can see, is really nearly identical to thesauros. Thesaurizo is the word that gets translated lay up or store up. So really, in some ways, what Jesus is saying is, hey, don't treasure treasures. Like, there are these earthly kind of treasures that you shouldn't treasure, but there are these other heavenly types of treasures that you should treasure. So don't treasure the earthly treasures, but do treasure the heavenly treasures. The problem for us is when we say, hey, don't treasure those treasures, we think treasuring is only a heart mind thing. We don't think about actually storing up stuff. And the Greek word means more than just a disposition or a heart attitude towards this thing, but it means a desire to actually store or perhaps even hoard this thing that we're looking at. And so the way I decided to say that this morning is Jesus says, don't seek earthly treasures and don't seek to store up earthly treasures. And it's not that treasures are bad. Jesus says, hey, it's not that treasures are bad. It says you are prioritizing the wrong kind of treasure, because these earthly treasures that you seek after, Jesus says, we all know that if it's cloth, moth can get it. If it's precious metal, rust is eventually going to get it. We know that it's able to be stolen, and that's bad. And we all know that someday you and I are going to die. And if it's an earthly treasure, when you die, your treasure is gone. So Jesus says, it doesn't really make sense for us to treasure those treasures, to seek and store earthly treasures. But in fact, what actually makes sense and what honors God more is to seek and store heavenly treasures. And so let's all just imagine for a moment that we all actually really want to know what Jesus means when he says, hey, don't seek and store earthly treasures, but rather seek and store heavenly treasures, because wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And because I'm a giant nerd, the first answer to the question involves a chart, which is going to be awesome. So the three questions we need to ask, the first is, okay, well, what are they? What are the earthly treasures? What are the heavenly treasures that I'm supposed to be prioritizing one and not prioritizing the other? So our chart. So we have on the top row, we have examples of earthly treasures. And then on the bottom row, we have examples of heavenly treasures. These are things that you see in the scriptures are going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. So we all are familiar, if you've ever been to a wedding, with this, 1 Corinthians 13, the passage on love, and it's so great. And it closes with, and now faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is love. And it's just so cute when they read that at weddings. Now what we want to do, because we have this default prioritization of the earthly over the heavenly, is we want to say, and now money, power, and sex abide these three, and the greatest of these is, and then you fill in the blank however you want to fill in the blank. A lot of us are like the Coke Zero people again, and we want to put all three, but what we tend to do, our default prioritization, is to say, you know what? Money is more valuable than faith, and power, man, that's more valuable to me than hope, and sex, yeah, I want sex a lot more than I want this nebulous love thing. And what Jesus is telling us in this passage, and it isn't that the things on top are bad and we shouldn't seek or desire those. What he's saying is the things on bottom, they're more important. They are more valuable than the things on top. And I love how there's actually a really neat correspondence. I mean, you look at food. Food is an earthly treasure, but the scriptures tell us that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And so scripture is meant to be food for our souls, so to speak. And clothing is temporary. I'm glad that we all have clothes on. That's a very good thing. But Jesus says that the scriptures say that we're invited to put on holiness, as it were. And that's an eternal thing. Amusement. The word amusement is a, which means not, and amuse, which means think. And so it just means you're not thinking. You're just kind of mindlessly being entertained. That's an earthly treasure, whereas joy and rest are two of the things that we know are part of what happens in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Peer approval. I want you guys to like me. You probably want me to like you. You probably want the people that you're sitting with to like you. We all want peer approval. Peer approval is not bad. What Jesus is saying is peer approval is less important than God's approval. And so as we're asking the question, man, what does Jesus mean when he says, don't seek and store these earthly treasures, but rather seek and store these heavenly treasures? What I think he is saying is, he's saying, hey guys, these heavenly treasures, things that are like on the bottom list, you need to prioritize those. Those will last forever. Those are more important than the things on the top row. Does your heavenly Father know that you need those things on the top row? Yeah, he does, and he provides richly. But you seek first these heavenly things. Don't seek and store earthly over heavenly. So the first question, hopefully we've answered at least a little bit, is like, what are these earthly, heavenly treasure things? The second question we would need to ask if we actually wanted to understand what Jesus is saying here in the passage is, okay, so how do we seek and store them? Okay, so we've kind of identified some examples of heavenly treasures. How exactly would I go about seeking and storing these heavenly treasure things? And the great thing is Jesus tells us in the very next verse. He begins to teach about how we might seek and store these things. And so in Matthew 6, verses 22 through 24, Jesus continues and he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And the word there for money more means like wealth, or in the context really he's saying earthly treasures. And what Jesus is saying there, really he points out something that we all know. He says the eye is the lamp of the body. And what he's referring to there is if you lived in the time that Jesus lived and you were traveling at night, what you would typically do is you would have some sort of pole, and on the end of your pole you would have a lantern. And it's pitch black, and so you only go where that lantern is pointed. And so if you want to go that direction, you would hold the lantern out in front of you this way, and that's all you can see, and you would go this way. If you turn the lantern that way, you wouldn't keep walking in the pitch black. You would turn this way and go that direction. And so what Jesus is pointing out, which is something that we all know, is that you go where you're looking. Like wherever your attention is focused, that's the direction you're going to go. And so Jesus says, hey, in this earthly treasure, heavenly treasure quest where we tend to prioritize earthly treasures over heavenly treasures, and you're asking the question, okay, well, how can I seek and store heavenly treasures over earthly treasures? Jesus says two things. He says, first, look where you're looking. Because if your focus, if you're intent on earthly treasures, that's where you're going to go. The eye is the lamp of the body. And so part of the trick in seeking and storing these heavenly treasures is taking our focus, taking our eyes, as it were, and putting them on heavenly treasures, things like faith, hope, and love, and holiness in Scripture, instead of money and power and sex and food and clothing and those things that we can touch and we can feel and we like them because they're physical and we can grab onto them. Jesus is saying, watch where you look. And Jesus is also saying something that we as Americans hate. He says you can't have it both ways. He says you can only have one master. You can only have one ultimate thing that you're pursuing. And so you can make that thing earthly treasures, but that's what he's teaching against, or you can make that thing a heavenly treasure, God himself. And so that's what Jesus says as we ask the question, and he answers the question, okay, how do I seek and store? He says, look where your focus is, make it on heavenly, and understand you don't get both. You can't have both things as your ultimate. And so the last question we have to ask as we're kind of seeking to understand what Jesus is saying is one that's just really personal. Will we trust Jesus? Will you trust Jesus? Because really what we've been studying in this passage is really just Jesus talking about the first move and the second move, really primarily the second move where we change or we give up our default prioritization of the temporary over the eternal. And that's the question that I don't want to answer for you because I can't answer it for you. And so the question for you as we look forward over this 40-day period to Good Friday and as you leave this room today is, will you trust Jesus? Do you find Jesus trustworthy enough for you to make the first move where you stop trying to earn God's love, but you just say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust that I just get it for free in you. And as you begin to think about the way you live and maybe the way you prioritize the physical over the eternal, the temporary over the eternal, is Jesus offering us the best way to live? Is he trustworthy? Do you want to be like Jesus? Because when you look at the Gospels, Jesus did what he's talking about. He valued heavenly things over earthly things. And so for us, for each of us, The question is, do I trust Jesus? Do I trust him enough to imitate him? Do I trust him enough to let him take care of my relationship with God and this love thing that I want from God so badly? And we hope you do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you freely offer us your love through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I confess to you that for me, giving up is hard to do. God, it's difficult for me to consistently give up my quest to earn your love, even though I know, God, that you give it to me for free. And God, it's hard for me to give up this default prioritization thing that I've got, where God, I just like earthly stuff. I like temporary stuff, and I end up prioritizing it more over these heavenly things, these eternal things that you're offering to me and to each of us in this room. So God, we confess that to you. God, we confess that we need your help to make the first move and the second move over and over and over and over. So God, I pray for each of us in this room, God, that you would give us clarity as we ask the question what we might give up over the next 40 days to just experiment, just to try and see what happens as we take some things out and put some different things in. God, I pray for the Christians in this room. God, I'm thankful that you have saved them, redeemed us. God, help us not to root our sense of worth, our sense of holiness in our behavior, but God, in your Son, Jesus. But God, help us to make that second step, that second move as well, where we give up our lives for the sake of your life. And God, I pray for the non-Christians who are here. God, we're so glad they're here. God, I pray that you reveal yourself to them. God, that you would help them to see how awesome you are. Help them to see that they don't have to earn it and they can stop trying because you offer yourself freely to the world through your Son, Jesus. I pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.